Legend becomes fact. Print the legend.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option.
Was a conspiracy notion out there. How much influence do you have? Was it you and your fellow neoconservatives that created the momentum towards overthrowing Saddam Hussein?
Nobody does a thing in this town without our approval.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom, along with my co-host, the great American Judge Buster, Sherman Skolnick, out of Chicago. Sherman is very, very busy ensuring that we have some sort of a judiciary that will do something judiciary. So he's not here tonight, but he's on assignment. He'll be back again later this evening. But right now, we're joined by Captain Eric May of Ghost Troop. Captain, it's an honor to have you back at Cloak and Dagger.
Well, y'all are our flagship, and you have been since we started Mission 911 to be back in July, Lenny.
Well, that's
great. I want to tell your listeners right off the bat, if they want to know more about what happened in July of 2003 and the cover-ups of the American media and my connection with it, which was strong, they can go and look up Captain May on a Google search engine, and the top thing will be the introduction to Ghost Troop. That bust the American media dead to rights in the summer of the first year of the war, collaborating with the Bush White House in every possible way. Now, Lenny, I just got off the phone with the New York Times, and we spent five minutes, with them trying to figure out whether or not they wanted to talk about the things that relate to their own paper and the collaboration with the White House and military folks to cover up things throughout the war, at least through my involvement. And they don't know what to answer. I told them I'd talk to Time Magazine, and two reporters at Time Magazine had both asked for my phone number and wanted to get back with me. They didn't know what to say about that, which is just like the Washington Post, by the way. The Washington Post has been on and off of the phone with me. I've got contacts in the paper who want to do something, and I've got people in the newsroom who are scared to take a number.
Yeah.
They're begging me not to email them.
Right.
So American journalism is totally in a spin. Judith Miller today looks more like Judith Miller than she ever did, and those of us who are down on media the worst from the start sound like the ones who were smartest about it from the get-go. And I know that includes you, Lenny.
Yes, and we're not afraid to expose the truth and scrape the bullshit off the truth, and that's what we're here to do tonight. What's happening? It's busy. What's going to happen with this? Tell us about the hurricanes and the harpicanes.
Okay, you always get your Gulf Coast update from Ghost Troop because our headquarters is right here in the belly of the beast. We're Houston, Texas. That's where we fought the whole info war. So we've been watching with great interest all the weather weapons they've been turning loose on the Gulf Coast to achieve geostrategic goals, to declare war on the Gulf Coast of America. Lenny, I told you yesterday that if we got enough word out through the Internet and through contacts, we could actually change that hurricane's trajectory, because that hurricane, Wilma, is not a hurricane at all. It's a harpicane. It's a guided weapon. Well, we can already ascertain that it's a freak of nature, because it formed up quicker than any hurricane ever formed up. It sat on top of Cancun for 24 hours and didn't lose 20 miles per hour speed. When I remember Rita coming in here by Houston, 90 miles up the road at the border of Louisiana, Texas, and that thing had busted up from a Category 3 to a Category Nothing within about 6 hours, 8 hours. They're messing with all the laws of physics, and it doesn't even look good anymore. The reporters don't know what to do except give the latest data they've gotten, like regurgitation, without any comprehension whatsoever, because they don't know what's going to happen next. Well, yesterday, after we talked, Lenny, I went on a rampage through my notes of contacts and brought up the point that those prevailing westerlies that they were saying was going to blow this thing to the east towards Florida, suddenly they had not factored those westerlies in, because they had all the predictions up to yesterday said this hurricane was going to go straight up the east coast. You remember?
Yep, exactly.
Now they have changed, I think in large part because we pointed out the impossibility of that. Now it's been changed. They're not targeting the East Coast anymore. They're showing the doggone thing going out there into the Atlantic where it should be going. But they were doing everything up to and including map projections that exaggerated the width of the Northern Hemisphere or the North Pole to try to, in some way, make it look like anything scientific. But it's not. It's bogus science. These guys have been reduced to something lower than even the most low of the Soviet nomenclature, the people who controlled information for the Soviet Union. Well, now what they've got, Lenny, is they just turned loose of this thing with the HARP technology, if that's what they're using, and we suspect it is, and it's drifting off the Yucatan, about to enter into the current, and it's going to go towards Florida. And simultaneous with the weakening of this harpicane that's now nearing Florida, suddenly a new one has sprung up south of Jamaica, Harpicane Alpha. So we have set all records, and they've gone into the Greek alphabet, and it's so obvious when you see the folks, it's still fresh. When you see the seed tonight, for God's sake, notice the minute that Wilma starts weakening because they're no longer juicing it, immediately you have a formation of a hurricane to the south of Jamaica. It's lift and shift, Lenny. It's like they've got a machine gun and they're not even turning it off.
Yep.
People watching the weather can actually figure out the military dimensions that they are building up. And that's why all these meteorologists are sitting around smiling while they're saying how fast these things have gotten to Category 5, how great the barometric, or how low the barometric pressure is, indicating the total strength, how large the eyewall is. They're getting off on this. This is vicarious power. They don't care that these are instruments of murder and mayhem that are being used to achieve war aims. These are war weapons being turned against the countries that receive them, which is a great fear.
Yeah, of course.
In the 1970s, they banned this stuff.
And of course, they're cloak and daggers, because they're a dagger, that's the military instrument, but they're cloaked, so you can't see how dangerous they are. It's a cloak and dagger again. It's
Lenny,
a cloak and dagger world, Eric. Dagger world.
Well, you know, the dagger is in the middle of the rose of the MI crest, the military intelligence crest, because it's a stealthy affair. And what this all goes back to, you know, I was upstairs reading Libby's note to Judith Miller when she was in jail.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about the aspen, you know, in the West together.
Yeah, I've got it on cloakanddagger.de.
That's where I got it. I've been wanting to look at it.
Yeah, isn't it great? That's why I put it up there. It's got lots of code.
My God, it's like it came out of the Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah.
You expect somebody to go on a sleeper mission.
Well, it's orders from Big Brother to the New York Times as to what they're going to say.
Well, you know, that's why it's so interesting, and I got to get it out here, that back in mid-July 2003, I got through to the Times, Chief Pentagon Correspondent Shanker, and after he and I talked Russian for a few minutes before he knew that I was what I said I was and who I said I was, after that, I sent him an email. If your people go up there to my name at the top right of Cloak and Dagger, and I'm very proud to have it there and be a friend of Lenny Bloom, and click it on, and you'll find the Ghost Troop introduction. And in that introduction, you'll find op-eds that were written and suppressed in real time during July 2003. You'll find implications carrying the New York Times right into the heart of this thing. I had a talk with Tom Shanker on the 15th and sent him an email. that I think shook his world up, and he passed it on to his editors on the 16th. That's all documented and at the site. And I've got a feeling that in these day and age, to my editors means to the Bush boys. One step means the same as the other. And then by the 29th of that month, the next time I talked to him, this being July still, the next time I called Shantan Shankar, Lenny, that I got him, and the first things I said to him weren't very pleasant because I thought he'd set me up with the Bush people. Lord knows, Judas Miller set up David Kelly. And when I said that, at first he began to do this double tap, we can't talk about it, pending investigations, blah, 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 from the New York Times. Then it finally came to him, Captain May? And I said, certain words I won't repeat here, you're right, Captain May, followed by more words I won't repeat. And then Tom Shankar went into Russian, and we talked Russian for 5-10 minutes. And during that time, Tom Shankar said he was scared to death. He was afraid they'd kill him, and he didn't want to talk. The Constitution was wrecked. The press was being suppressed. And he didn't want to talk, and he was scared. And we kept going around in circles just as well as I was able to construe the Russian at the time under the pressure. And I remember thinking that he thought that because we were talking Russian, we wouldn't be understood. But I was guessing by this point that the Times was so implicated that our conversation would simply be taped and transcribed by someone who was competent in Russian. I remember laughing about it as I was talking to him in Russian. It was Kafka-esque, Lenny.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond surreal.
Yeah.
But that's where things were then, and that's where they've been ever since. Right now, I'll tell you another thing, Lenny. These national reporters are smiling when they talk about the power fluctuations, the inconsistencies. They know doggone good and well, which is why in the entire broadcast media, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, for God's sake, ABC, CBS, NBC, you look at any of them, and I defy you to find one person who dares to ask a question beginning with, my, but these are freak occurrences. Is there any possible pattern of explanation that connects them? No one's going to ask any inquisitive questions.
Yeah.
No one's going to ask how suddenly there's another hurricane ginning up a couple hundred miles south of where the first one came through.
Where
did the restored water temperatures come from?
Yeah, no percept.
No one's asking.
No perceptual training, no interested in triggering percept, only stringing together old concepts, matching, not
fun,
making.
Buddy.
All matching, no making, all propaganda.
The fact of that matter is they're playing deaf, dumb, and blind while we're getting waged war on. They are complicit. They are collaborative.
Yeah.
This Judith Miller thing, my God, they're trying to pretend now at the Times they're issuing an app. They set her up to get a national journalist, professional journalist, award for First Amendment heroism. Then gave her to Congress, already set up, as an opportunity to show why journalists deserve to be rewarded by stronger protections. And then 4 days later, they're putting a paper, an article out today saying, wow, we didn't realize she was... not going to say it, but an agent, a Mossad mole. But guess what? They knew. They all knew. That's why Shankar was scared to death. I'll give you another name. Barbara Phillips, Wall Street Journal, said she was scared to death of the editor. I think John Fund or some such thing over there. But they were scared. When I called these people up that I'd worked with 10 years and more, people were scared.
Yes.
And they're still scared. And they're confused. And now they're scared by two things. They're scared of the Bush boys who are falling out of power, and they're scared of the one thing they were committed to serve, the truth.
Yeah.
They are afraid that when this comes out, it's going to come out that not only did they accede to requests from the White House, but they coded messages. They played with embedded code.
Yeah.
They inserted numbers. They carried signatures. All the stuff you and I talk about all the time, Lenny, has been done, was being done, and will be done tomorrow if we're not careful.
Couriers
the hurricane is just the continuing bamboozling of America.
Yep.
It's a war on the people by the rulers.
Yep, it's a diplomatic poach without walls. And
last thing we need to touch on, Lenny, is another storm that's brewing, and that's the Wag the Dog target Syria. As the movie Wag the Dog premised, the only thing that gets the American people to forget anything that's going wrong in the executive branch is the looming war. So suddenly this very dubious so-called Syrian assassination in Lebanon of back in the winter begins to look more and more like a pre-canned casus belli. And suddenly the Bush people want to have a Security Council meeting with the UN. This is like Hitler going into Czechoslovakia or Poland, Lenny. It's not fooling anybody. It's the same old stuff.
Yeah, same old stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've heard talk around the water cooler that Castro might have a wild card. What if he calls the UN and says they're using weather weapons against me? I'm Cuba.
Yeah.
I think there is a treaty to that effect. Who knows how long is this going to be indulged? How long are loyal, constitutionally sworn officers going to prop this nitwit up, this Neo-Nero? I don't know what he has talked people into doing to get away with this. Is he telling people we're running emergency drills because we think Al-Qaeda is going to hit us? It's better we should do it with weather manipulation to test our resources? I mean, what kind of BS are they feeding people? And how long will they continue to siphon off the rest of us to feed people who are doing nothing but betraying us?
Sounds like the invasion of the body snatchers.
Doesn't it, though?
Listen,
well, it's the aspens all connected at the root. Don't you know that's what he was saying?
Yeah, that's the aspens all connected at the root.
They're all, he's saying,
that's the demon.
The ball.
That's the demon world, the aspens.
And he's saying, come back to our side and we can guarantee you more terror strikes, because we'll do them. And we can guarantee you Iranian nuclear peril, meaning war with Iran, which is a long-term Israeli need. That's their existential criterion right now. They put that first of everything. And he throws it right out there for Judas Miller as an enticement. And he says, more bio threats. And he knows they're coming. This whole avian flu thing, right now, I'm inclined to believe, is a pre-canned biohazard.
We've got to wrap it up. We've got to wrap it up, so just give it a few more minutes, and then we got to go. But everything you're describing is just what summarized with the great line, what rough beast is it that returns to Jerusalem? Slouches back to Jerusalem.
It's a time. The Chinese have a saying, Lenny, which is both a curse and a compliment. It's, may you live in interesting times. And these have become exceedingly interesting times. But there's one lesson I've learned from my study of history and observation of people such as it is, which is that there's nothing that implodes like a bully's kingdom. And there's nothing that looks so ridiculous as a naked emperor. And this emperor has no clothes. People need to stop covering from him and let everyone see the stupidity, nakedness, and viciousness beneath it all. And then let's move on.
We have
Lenny, I'll keep walking it out before you, and hopefully Wilma's ass doing its worst damage. They're not going to use it as a threat to the East Coast. We'll see what happens with Alpha, and watch the weather. It's like the end of the day the Earth stood still. Watch the skies.
That's right.
That's the end of the thing.
And we'll look forward to having you back again later tonight at about 1 o'clock, because when you live at the speed of light, you live a year each day, and we're going to have you back in 6 months, which will be at about 1 a.m. So
it's
thanks.
Been going that way. Well, with compliments to military intelligence and the M3, five words of French, toujours en avant, suivez-moi. Captain May, Ghost Troop, out.
À nos enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé. Contre nous de la tyrannie, l'étendard sanglant est levé. L'étendard sanglant est levé. Entendez-vous dans les campagnes mugir ces féroces soldats? Jusque dans nos bras, égorger nos fils, nos compagnes. Aux armes, citoyens, formez vos bataillons. Marchons, marchons, qu'un sang pur abreuve nos sillons. Aux armes. Oh,
humanity.